Hi, my name is Rabbi David Pardo, and this is Mishnah Taharot. Today, we begin in Chapter 3, Mishnah 2. We're picking up from yesterday's Mishnah, talking about congealed liquids. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hashem Tchila Le'olam. Rabbi Meir tells us that oil is always a liquid. Oil, even when it congeals, remains moist, and therefore passes a litmus test for what is considered a liquid, and therefore is always a Tchila, is always a Rishon, regarding tuma. Chachamim omrim, af hadvash. Chachamim want to include honey. For those of you who had congealed honey, it's delicious. And it is considered a liquid. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri omer, af hayayin. So Rabbi Shimon Shazuri wants to include wine to this list of liquids that never quite become solids. Now, we depart. We switch to another topic, a related one. Picking up from the theme from yesterday, we want to know what happens to a solid, and this is not a case where the solid is shrinking, but rather this is the case where the solid contains a liquid, and the solid itself is tame, and exudes a liquid, which is not tame. By the way, this weighs into a machlokas that's going to be revealed in the Gemara later, not here, elsewhere, about what is the nature of liquids trapped inside of a solid. Are they considered part of the solid, or are they their own thing? Or in the language of the Gemara, are they mufkad, or are they balua? That's not for here, but this Mishnah is very much sides with one side, or is good ammo for one side, and it has to be explained by the other side. Nonetheless, here we go. Gush shel zeitim shenafala tanur v'husak. So you have a bunch of olives that are that have been prepared for tuma and are tame, and they now they fall into an oven, and they get so hot, they're heated up, that they begin to exude the oil. The oven here is really just a foil for a scenario where the oils leave the olive. So here's the question. How many olives do we have? If we have an egg's worth, kabeitza mechuvan, tahor, if we have exactly an egg's worth, tahor, any more than a kabeitza, then they are tamei. Shekevan sheyetza tipa rishona, nitmet bekabeitza. So as soon as the olive oil leaves the olive becomes somewhat smaller. And just like yesterday's case, if you have exactly an egg or less, then the egg cannot impart the tuma. Sorry, the egg's worth of olives cannot impart tuma onto the liquid. And if we have anything more than an olive, egg's worth of olives, then the liquid is tame because the first bit gets tame, and then however much more the olive oil leaves, it doesn't matter. Even if the solid becomes less than a kabeitza, is no longer able to impart impurity because we have that first bit of olive oil. Exactly parallel to yesterday's case. Therefore, shekevan sheyetzati parishona nitmeh bekabeitza. Im hayu frudin afilu henseya tahor. If they were separated from each other, the bunch of olives, afilu henseya, or we have an alternative text, so seya is a very large volume, or we have an alternative text, afilu henmeya, even if you have 100 olives, tahor, they are tahor because an olive is de facto smaller than a kabeitza and is smaller than the minimum shear to impart tuma. That's the end of Mishnah 2. Moving on to Mishnah 3. Tmei mei shesachat zeitim ve'anavim. So you have an individual who is at the highest level of impurity, and he has these olives. He doesn't touch the olives because that would be much too easy. Rather, he has these flat wooden utensils. So he made the olives tame. The olives are tame. He made them tame. But the olive oil inside, like we saw in last Mishnah, is not. Now he begins crushing them, squeezing them with flat wooden utensils. So this is really a similar story to last time. Kabeitza mechuvan tahor. As long as it's exactly a kabetza or less, then they're tahor. As long as he doesn't touch any of the liquid, yotemi kabetza tame. If it's anything more than a kabetza, then the olive oil is tame. Shekevan sheyasa tipa rishona nitmet bekabetza, because as soon as the olive oil leaves the olive, it becomes tame from the olive, and any subsequent olive oil becomes tame from the other olive oil. So this is a similar case to the previous Mishnah. It is brought here in contradistinction to the following case, which is we're going to ask how this whole scenario is affected by the source of tumah being the zav, as opposed to other kinds of tumah. Im haya zav o zava. So if the person is a zav or a zava, has a flux in English. Afilu gargari yechidi, even if it is a berry, of course, being smaller than an egg, tame, automatically tame, even though the gargar, the solid, whatever solid is not the thing imparting tuma, because it's too small to impart tuma, why shekevan sheyatzati parishona nitmet b'masa? As soon as the first bit of liquid leaves, it becomes tame through masa, not through the presence of the solid, but through the act of masa, of caring. Azav, till now, and really for the most part going forward, we're only going to talk about types of tuma that are transmitted through touch, bimaga. So that's the case with the tmei mate in this mission, number 3. It's the same thing with the tuma in mission 2 and so forth. But a zav is metame things through masa, through caring. And here the bit of liquid, it becomes tame through the masa of the zav and not from the container, the containing berry or whatever food item. Zav shechalav te'ez, similar case. So a zav wants to milk a cow, goat, a chalav tame. The milk becomes tame shekevan sheyetzat tipah harishona nitmet b'masa. As soon as the first bit of milk comes out, it is nitmet, it becomes tame through masa, through the caring that is done by the zav or zava in the act of milking. Okay, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow.